Erica Jones was planning on giving this presentation. Unfortunately, she has a good excuse for not being here, related to her health. This was a project that was conducted by Erica and Lita Jans and myself as a project of the Pacific ADA Center and funded by NIDER. I have no financial relationships to disclose. The premise of this project was that successfully employed people with disabilities have quite a bit of valuable expertise that they know about and is not disseminated to people with disabilities who are looking for work or who want to work. And we hope to be able to capture that and disseminate it. So the goals were to identify strategies of employed people with disabilities, what helped them find work, how did they go about getting accommodations, what strategies did they have for advancing in their careers, and so on, and then use those strategies to create a training that could be used to assist job seekers and employees with disabilities, and job seekers to how to find a job, and employees how to advance or get a new job. We held 5 focus groups with successfully employed people with disabilities. They were held in California, 2 in California, 2 in Hawaii, and 1 in Nevada. And the selection criteria had to do with the person's employment history. They had to have been both employed during the past 2 years, and they had to have been employed during their lifetimes for at least 5 years. They couldn't be self-employed because this is all about negotiating with an employer and getting hired. And what turned out to be a really important criterion was they couldn't be employed in a disability-related job, which turned out to be to make recruitment much harder than it otherwise would have, because the recruitment channels we used, which were largely sort of independent living-related channels, everybody they knew who worked was working in some kind of disability-related job. So that actually, there is something going on here, I think, and it would be interesting to know what fraction of the people with disabilities who work are actually in the disability industry in some form or another. The composition of the focus groups, we had one group for deaf people and people who are hard of hearing, and the other 4 groups were for people of a variety of disabilities. Most typically they had mobility and or sensory disabilities. There was quite a bit of representation of people with hidden disabilities. And one group, four of the groups were mixed race and ethnicity, and one of them was designed for Latinos and was primarily Latino. There were 41 participants, about half women. The age range was 24 to 64. Most of the participants were members of racial or ethnic minority groups. 70% were college grads, and there was quite a variety of jobs and industries represented. About half of them were worked for government and half for private industry. So in the focus groups, we asked people open-ended questions about successful employment experiences and strategies, the goal being to talk about not the problems they had, but to talk about the successes, which of course is a challenge to get people not to harp on what hasn't gone well. So we asked them questions about the application process, interviewing, responding to an offer, requesting accommodations, and promotion and advancement. And then the interviews were transcribed live, so with a CART system. And 2 of the researchers, Lita Jans and I, independently coded the transcripts using grounded theory. I specifically mentioned that I did it because probably it would surprise a lot of people to know that I actually have done qualitative research. And I have no problem with it. And we identified 11 major themes, of which I'm going to talk about 5 today. Those 5 are disability disclosure and acknowledgement, accommodations, interview strategies, job finding strategies, job finding and career selection strategies, and succeeding on the job, beginning with disability disclosure and acknowledgement. And here's a chart that we made that is basically a synthesis of lots and lots of discussion, lots of disagreement among people in the groups about when and whether to disclose or acknowledge the fact that you have a disability. Acknowledge being if you have a visible disability, you don't really have to disclose it, but you know, whether or not you want to talk to your employer about it is a very good question. And there were basically three things that determined people's approach to this, which was whether they needed accommodations or not, and if so, whether they needed accommodations during the interview or not, whether they had a visible or a hidden disability, and if they had a hidden disability, whether or not it was a highly stigmatized disability. Basically, if you need an accommodation during the interview, there was universal agreement that there was no point in having an interview without disclosing in advance and making sure you got your accommodation. So that was the only easy part of this whole thing. I'm not easy for the person, but easy for the researchers. If you did not need an accommodation during the interview, you had a lot more flexibility. If you needed a workplace accommodation, you could disclose and discuss it during the interview if you wanted. That was, especially if you had a visible disability, that was basically the recommendation. You know, if you have a visible disability, there was not consensus, but probably majority opinion that you might as well talk about it during the interview. But some people said wait till the job start or wait till you get the offer. If you had a hidden disability, there was much more balancing of pros and cons about disclosing or not. You might not disclose during the interview, and you might never disclose, especially if you had a highly stigmatized disability. One person with a fairly serious mental health disability said what turns out to be my favorite quote of all the transcripts, which is, "I would never disclose my mental disability because it's not like you're forgiven. You're in a business. This is not like being among friends. In the job interview, I deemed it none of his business, so I didn't tell him. But you know, I felt like a pipe, and there were little holes in the pipe, and water was coming out of it." And his ambivalence about disclosure, he wasn't ambivalent about it, but he definitely did not want to do it, but he was not particularly comfortable, and I'll get back to why in a moment. So there are people who never disclose. But certainly there's a trend toward waiting a little bit later. If you need an accommodation, you might wait until you're starting the job, or even until you get through your probationary period. But one problem with this whole chart is that the person may not know really where they fit on it. For example, they may not know what accommodations exist or what they need, or what the job might require. So they may think that they don't need accommodations and may not disclose, but that may present a problem later on. It may preclude getting needed accommodations. And in fact, the guy with a mental health disability would have liked an accommodation. He would have liked a room that he could close and have fewer distractions that would make it easier for him to work. But he'd never disclosed, so he couldn't have one. And also, not disclosing or not opening the conversation about disability might prevent the employer, who might be thinking about accommodations, from actually bringing the subject up and making suggestions. And the other thing that concerns us a lot is that people may erroneously believe that their disability is entirely hidden, but maybe it affects their mannerisms, their communication style, whether they make eye contact with the person during the interview, something like that, things that can be very important to how well the interview goes. And the employer might think, well, this person's kind of strange, or they might not fit in. They might pick up some clue that there's something different, and maybe if they had known that this person had some kind of disability, they would have said, oh, I get it. So there was the advice to get feedback about whether your disability is really hidden or how you should really treat that. So other advice that people had regarding disclosure or acknowledgement was there was a fair amount of consensus that you should rarely mention your disability in the application or in the resume unless you're applying for a federal government job or unless you're applying for a job in which disability is some kind of advantage, like it's a disability-related job. Or there was a story that a deaf person who was in one of the groups told about how she was considered by her employer to be a much better worker because all the hearing people were always talking and, as she said, yammering, and she got a promotion and a raise while everybody else was getting laid off. So if you find an employer who thinks that way and you're deaf, you know, disclose. There was also a subtlety. One participant said, you have to interview the interviewer. That's very important, too. And in doing that, you can pick up on what you need to tell them. So if you sense that there's some unspoken questions or fears or discomfort, that's a good time to say, okay, you know, I have a disability and this is how I'll do the job. Some people wait to disclose or request accommodations after working for a while, as I mentioned, but that can backfire because what if you're not performing very well and, you know, you don't make a good first impression? That can be very bad. Or what if you worked for your entire probationary period without an accommodation and you suddenly say, oh, by the way, I have a disability and I need an accommodation, and they say, well, you've worked perfectly fine and you didn't have one. So that may not work. How to disclose or acknowledge? People said think ahead and develop a concise narrative. So think about what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. On the other hand, don't make a big deal. Big deal is actually a quote. Don't make a big deal of disclosure. Don't harp on it. Emphasize your abilities and discuss how you're able to do essential job tasks and whether if you know your accommodations, you can then in the interview state what you need and how you're going to get the job done with those accommodations. Focus on the job, not on the disability. Explain how disability won't get in the way, and there's the usual advice about demonstrating a positive attitude. So turning now to the second of five key topic areas, accommodations. And once again, we've done a chart to synthesize lots of things that people said. And here's the basic, this is the sort of level zero of the accommodation process, which is you have to start by learning about accommodations and what you need, which people with disabilities often don't know. One participant said, knowing what you need is half the battle. Then you engage your employer in problem solving. So rather than just saying, this is what I want, you say, this is the problem, can you please help me solve it? Here's a quote from a participant, when you can get the employer to buy into it and do those things on their own, it works a whole lot better. Then identify and request a pragmatic solution. Emphasize on pragmatic. Sometimes you can come up with something that doesn't cost a whole lot, you know, sitting in the front row, something like that, and is not a big deal, and it's easier to get accomplished. And then, of course, evaluate the adequacy. See whether it actually works for you. If it doesn't, then you have to go up back to the employer and start discussing it again. So that's the basic process. But there are barriers. There are substantial barriers to either asking or getting what you need. One of the barriers is fear of asking. And so you need to overcome that fear. Many people with disabilities, here's a quote, many people with disabilities say, I am scared. I don't want to cause trouble. They're afraid for asking anything because they think that would limit their opportunities. They don't want to rock the boat, in other words. So you have to work on your fear and be bold and ask. You also have to learn about your legal rights and learn about the process within your organization for requesting an accommodation and getting it, so you're doing it the right way. Seeking advocacy resources to help you, you know, if you can get somebody to go in with you or to give you advice, that can be very useful. And of course, you have to be a self-advocate. You have to be persistent. You have to keep on pushing for it until you get it. And one thing we found that's very important is that accommodation is not a one-time event. Something happens, your job changes, your disability changes, the technology changes, things are always happening, and your accommodation may not work for you anymore at all, or may not be so effective anymore, and so you have to start the whole thing again. So it's not a one-time deal. Turning to the next topic, interview strategies. There are some strategies that apply universally. Such as prepare and practice for the interview. Well, big deal, right? Work on and demonstrate people skills. That's universal advice, but I think for people with certain types of disabilities, that might be really key advice. Demonstrate people skills. Show enthusiasm, project self-confidence, display a positive attitude. Universal advice. And then some strategies that particularly apply to people with disabilities who are applying for jobs. Of course, everybody needs to sell their abilities. That's what an interview is about, right? But in the case of disability, you need to decide how your disability relates to the ability to do the job. Some people say downplay your disability. Say treat it as an inconvenience, for example. And others have an approach where they use their disability to demonstrate their strengths. They might tell some story about, you know, people thought I couldn't do this and I managed to do that, or overcoming a challenge or something like that. And so there are different ways of using your disability in a positive way during the interview. People stress that it was important to ask about the work requirements and the work environment because you may not know whether you can do it, you may not know what accommodations you need, all sorts of things. So, you know, ask a lot of questions during the interview. Prepare to handle inappropriate questions. Just because it's illegal to ask something doesn't mean they won't ask, or they won't step way over the bounds of what isn't a decent interview. And there were people who said that it happened to them, and they hadn't thought about it. They were so shocked, you know, and they didn't, you know, they may have answered, and they didn't really want to answer. Ask in advance if there's any possibility you might need accommodations. Ask in advance to make sure that you know, about the interview. What, you know, will there be a written test? You know, that kind of thing. So now job finding strategies. Again, a whole bunch of strategies that apply universally to everybody. Have realistic expectations for your job or career. Now, networking and using your connections, of course, everybody has to do that. But I think that's, again, something that's maybe particularly important for a lot of workers with disabilities. They may not have a recent job history, so that it's easy for them to get back in. They may not have the very specific skills, so they need somebody to kind of give them a break. And networking is a way of having somebody vouch for you. So if you can get somebody to tell a potential employer, this is a good person, you know, forget the fact that they have a disability, they can do the job anyway. In other words, to overcome whatever their stereotype is, that seems to be particularly useful for workers with disabilities. And then the other advice is, you know, get a foot in the door by volunteering or internships or temporary work, seek jobs in high demand, and, you know, keep applying, be persistent. Job strategies that apply particularly to workers with disabilities: balance your abilities with your interests. Applies to everybody, but you know, you got to think about the disability and whether you have limitations of things you can do, and make sure that you know, the job you're thinking about is compatible with both your limitations and your passions, without buying into stereotypes of what people with your type of disability can actually do. Seeking disability-friendly jobs, even though we didn't have people in who were in disability-friendly jobs. A lot of people said, get a job in a disability-friendly job, disability-friendly organization, so you can get a foot in the door and get your first job. And there are jobs for which disability is an advantage, like the deaf woman. People with disabilities do have to do extra work to get in the door. That's a universally agreed upon. Succeeding on the job. Well, work hard to get ahead. I mean, job performance is key for all workers, of course. Here's a quote. Just work hard and show them what you can do. I think it applies to anybody with or without a disability. People said think about productivity from the employer's perspective, not necessarily the employee's perspective, and that might shift your thinking about how much you demand and that kind of thing. And there is an acknowledgement that people with disabilities may have to be better than other people, like people in other minority groups. They may have to do better. They may have to put an extra effort to actually get ahead. They may need to prove themselves, unlike other workers. They also said learn how to get promoted and push for that. Also, in succeeding on the job, make connections with coworkers, which enables you to enlist them as allies, educate them as disability, you know, things about self-esteem and self-confidence. Creating a disability-positive attitude. I don't know how to do that, but that was something that, you know, think about your disability in a positive light. And mentoring was also something emphasized. So in conclusion, in the area of disclosure or acknowledgement of disability, it's an individual decision that depends on the visibility of your disability, your accommodation needs, the level of stigma. For hidden disabilities, there are pros and cons. You have to think about them carefully. Prepare for the discussion and emphasize your abilities. For accommodations, they're an ongoing process, not a one-time event. Find out what you need and ask for it, engage the employer, and be a persistent self-advocate. In terms of interview strategies, general advice: be prepared, be self-confident, positive, enthusiastic, sell your abilities, address employer concerns, and be ready to handle inappropriate questions. For job finding strategies, there's the usual advice about persistence, networking, volunteering, and so on. And then there's also additional advice about balancing abilities and interests and seeking jobs in which disability might be an advantage. And the advice about succeeding on the job, well, this isn't advice, but a comment was you might have to work harder, so work hard. Actively seek promotions. Don't just be happy with what you have. Enlist coworkers as allies. Work on your self-esteem, your self-confidence, and having a disability-positive attitude. And be a mentor and seek a mentor to help you.